The following is a production of 10 Ply Media.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Couch Thoughts Podcast. From a couch, I'm Rocky Persinger. With me, as always, partner in crime, Brent Pickens. What's up, Brent?
What's up, Rock?
Oh, same old man. So we're back after a week. We took a little week off there.
We did. A little sabbatical.
We just apologize to our 15 viewers last week. We just got a little tied up.
Yeah, one thing after another. Life happens.
Yeah, well, wife happens. Life. You know, when your wife make plans for you, it's either do the podcast or... have a mad wife.
That's it.
What are you going to do?
That's it, man.
But, you know, we did a little, last night, we did a little trip outside of the wife's plans.
Yeah.
And went up to Columbus and saw my Columbus Blue Jackets take on Brent's Washington Capitals.
Oh, yeah.
At Nationwide Arena in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah, I mean, And our seats this time, you know, last time we bought some $50 seats, which weren't awful.
They were nosebleeds, man.
But, I mean, you could see everything, but the seats are all scrunched up. It's basically straight up and down.
Yeah, and me and Brent aren't exactly small guys.
No.
So, us being scrunched up, not too good.
No. But these seats, they're a little bit more, but it was definitely worth it. I mean, the concessions, they're within... what, 20 feet?
Yeah, so we got club-level seats, which, if you've never been to a hockey game before, if you don't want to pay the $250 for the suite, yep. The club-level's the way to go. You have your own private concessions,
Which, I couldn't imagine paying another $100, $130, because when you think of a suite, you think of a big, box... closed off from everybody.
Which,
they were... And I guess their suite is a table with two stools?
Well, what you didn't... That's the part where you go out and watch the game.
Oh.
There's a part back in there with, like, a bar and, free food. Like, your food's free
at that point,
in the suite. But I still don't know if it's worth it because Brent and I, on the way up, last time... we went to a Blue Jackets game. They were playing the St. Louis Blues.
Yep.
And we just went because, we were just starting to get into hockey. I think we've talked about it before on the show.
Yeah.
And we got those nosebleed seats. And, it just, I don't know, it wasn't really worth it. But this time we're going to the Capitals. We wanted to make sure we saw the game really well. And there's more seats. And still with the concessions, last time... we came, we were hungry.
Yeah.
Last time we came, we were running a little late, so we decided just to skip food and go to the game. So then, I ended up buying like two hot dogs and some popcorn and a large drink, which we still got our large drink this time because you get a souvenir cup.
Yeah, and the cups are pretty legit.
They're pretty legit, but
food is just so overpriced.
It's ridiculous. It's like $5 for a hot dog, a crappy hot dog.
It was $10 for a wrap.
It was. But, so we, this time, we got smart. We stopped at McDonald's on the way up the road.
Yeah.
And we hit up some dollar menu.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and I think this is the time to talk about how we feel about the whole touchscreen ordering system.
Yeah, it was, this was, McDonald's, it was pretty sweet. They got a little touch screen, kind of like Sheetz does, but
Sheetz, pioneers of the game.
Yeah,
Sheetz.
Pioneers. But you go through, you pick what you want, you take a little call, you pay for it, you take a little number, you put it on your table, and we had the food pretty quick. I was pretty impressed.
Created our own order. I didn't have to worry about them messing up my order because I'm the one that put it in the computer.
That's it.
If people want to be paid $15 an hour, we got a little touch screen that can take care of that real quick.
But it was pretty quick. I mean, I was impressed, really, and because we don't have any McDonald's around here that look like, you know, that,
no,
that's
we don't
kind of like up, you know, high tech.
Yeah,
you know.
touch screen ordering system. I approve.
Yeah,
I approve the touchscreen. So, you know, we got a whole meal. I got two McDoubles, two McChickens, a large fry, and a large drink for, you know, like $9. Yep. Brent got a Big Mac meal, like $8.
Yeah, eat something. So,
you know, I mean, we did all that. That's for the price of one hot dog, basically.
Yeah.
You know, so we were full when we went there this time, but we, like I said, we still got the souvenir cup because, you know, we like to drink out of those. And they're big cups.
They are. They're real good big cups.
We got to have a big, I mean, we're big guys. We got to have a big drink.
You have to.
I mean, what are you going to do? What else are you going to do when you're sitting around playing video games?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to get up to refill your drink all the time.
You don't.
So, I mean, you know, you just got to get your large cup.
I mean, you have to.
But, yeah, the game didn't go so well for me. It went really well for Pickens.
Yeah. Yeah, I was trying not to get too enthused about it because I was wearing my Ovechkin jersey surrounded by a bunch of Blue Jacket fans.
Yeah, so we'll talk about those people in a second.
I didn't want to get too riled up, but it was the seats where we're at, I was really impressed. It was really cool. On the left side, kind of a little bit down from us, we saw the Fox Sports.
Yeah, the guys that were doing the halftime show.
Yeah, they were doing a halftime show, and that was pretty cool. And, you know, you could see the pictures it really doesn't do it justice.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you can really see it all. You can actually see the puck.
You can see it all. You know, can see the puck. You can see the players, you know, look a lot larger than they are in the pictures.
Yeah.
You're a lot closer. The camera lens kind of skews it a little bit.
It does.
You're a lot closer.
For anybody that's going to go or wanting to go, I would definitely recommend paying a little extra to get a little closer. You know, I wouldn't necessarily want up against the glass, but where we were at, I was really happy with it. And, you know, it was, and I said it last time, I'll say it again. Hockey to me is one of the most, exciting things to watch.
Live sports. I've seen everything except the NBA. Haven't been to an NBA game just because, where we live, there's no close NBA team, really. You know, you got to drive at least 4 or 5 hours. But for my money, the NHL is the most exciting sport to watch live.
Yeah.
You know, even though my boy, Artemi Panarin, right now, he's kind of slacking. He's on a contract year. And, you know, these big athletes get on their contract year and they know they're going into free agency. They don't really care.
Well, and I don't think the Capitals really care either. Or not Capitals, shoot, Blue Jackets.
Yeah.
Just because last year we saw Panarin on everything.
Yep.
This year, I didn't see his picture on anything.
Nah, man.
You know, last year we got the cup and it had Panarin and I can't remember all who all it had on it. But it had three.
Our cup just had Panarin on it.
Oh,
you know, our souvenir cup is just Artemi Panarin. And, you know, now it's like he's not on any of the pictures anywhere. You know, and he's kind of voiced that he's not really happy with the Blue Jackets, I believe.
Yeah.
And, you know, so they were going to try to trade him. But I think he's just going to try to go into unrestricted free agency and shop the market. Which, you know, if he ends up in Washington or Pittsburgh, I'm going to be pissed. But, you know, which he very well might.
He could. I mean,
he could, you know. I don't know. That this will be like a super team, like the NBA.
I know. But, yeah, I tell you, man, you know, last night it was four. It ended up being 4-0.
4-0 Capitals.
There was some, I mean, Blue Jackets had some really good shots on the goal that I couldn't believe didn't go in.
Yeah.
But when they did have a power play, man, they just weren't attacking.
They weren't attacking. They weren't shooting the puck.
They were just passing. I'm like,
they were just passing around until the Capitals intercepted it.
Yep.
And then dumped it down in the Blue Jackets' end.
Yep.
So, you know, they kind of they didn't play well. They kind of deserved the loss. So, hats off to you. Brent got to see Ovechkin score a goal.
Yeah, that's – I mean, that – Yeah, you know, growing up, there's certain things you have on your bucket list. You know, certain players you wanna see. You know, I always want to see Kobe play. That never happened, but You know, the Ovechkin, you know, he's one of the most prolific goal scorers, like, you know, ever. So, I mean, that's a pretty cool thing to say you actually got to see. Yeah. So,
well, I feel like we have to mention here the only bad thing about our seats.
Damn Ohio fans. Ohio people. Ohio people.
Well, yeah, Ohio, as we say around here. Ohio. But, yeah, they were Ohio State fans.
Yes.
So they're talking about Ohio State. And, you know, we're in Columbus, so that makes sense. But they just kept talking throughout. And this just goes for sports or just seeing something in a crowd in general. You know, these people were talking really loud because they were acting like they were acting like they knew a lot about the sport.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you listen to this guy talk, it was like he played 12 years in the NHL.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the same deal if you go to a football game. There's always a guy that's a freaking expert, yeah, and he should have been an NFL coach, yep, for the last 30 years. But, you know, and these people were calling the players by their first name. Not even their first name, though, like giving them little nicknames.
Yeah, and...
There's a player on the Columbus Blue Jackets team called Oliver Bjorkstrand, right?
Yeah.
And they just kept calling him Ollie. They were like, Ollie needs to score a goal. Ollie's doing really well this year. It was like they raised him from a child.
It was.
And it's a little ridiculous.
And, you know, this goes to, like even when Trent's game Saturday was the same way, there's always this obnoxious guy behind you yelling. It's like, shut the hell up, enjoy the game, and watch it. I don't have a problem with you cheering for your fans, but when you're overly just talking above everything else,
yeah,
I'm like, man, just sit there and enjoy the game, watch it, and...
That's the thing. You can talk, like, me and Brent said several things back and forth to each other throughout the course of the game. You don't have to scream it.
No.
Just because the only reason you're screaming it is because you want everybody to hear you and let everybody know how much you know about the game.
Well, and part of it, I know Ohioans or Ohio people in general are loud. Because I have several relatives that, you know, I'm not the quietest guy around. Well, but they're obnoxiously loud,
they can't drive,
cannot drive. But man, just if you're going, just watch the game.
Just watch the game. If you want to say something to your wife or your girlfriend, lean over, say something to her. You know, if you want to tell her how Ollie was your best friend in high school, go ahead. You know, but my gosh, man. You're ruining the experience for other people around you, and you don't even care.
Yeah.
You know.
But that was the only downside.
That was the only downside. The
whole experience.
But the seats, man, they were nice and wide. Me and Brent had plenty of room. Just legit, man. Yeah. Club seats, the way to go.
Really is.
I've been to a lot of sporting events now. You know, I get club seats at the Cincinnati Reds games for MLB. I get the club seats right behind the home plate, and it's just the way to go, man. You have your own, private concessions that only people in the club air level can go to. Your own private bathrooms. People come down the rows, and you can order food from them.
Yeah.
You know? But, yeah, it's pretty legit. So, if you're going to a professional sporting event, pay the extra, you know, $60, $70 to go to the club level.
Yeah.
And every, you know, every sport has them. If you're going to, a sporting event in general, every stadium has a club level seats. I just highly recommend getting those.
Definitely. You know? Definitely.
Well, guys, so, you know, we're speaking of Artemi Panarin in his contract year and just, you know, players in their contract year. In general,
yep.
Kind of brings to mind something that's a little trend in college football that's been going on for a little bit here. And that is senior players or players, juniors that are declaring for the NFL draft, not playing in the bowl game with their team. As George Carlin said, the pussification of America.
Yep.
And, you know, it's just ridiculous. Like, you know, the player we're talking about specifically here, since we're from West Virginia, is Will Grier from the Mountaineers. But, you know, it just applies to college football in general of, you know, of these things. So, Brent, what do you think about this, man?
I think this is the biggest crock of shit I've ever seen. If I'm an NFL coach or scout or somebody looking at him, if you're not playing, I don't care if it's a minor bowl game or if you're playing for the national championship, if you don't have the balls to go, because day in and day out, you need a guy for your franchise, whatever team you are, to step up and play no matter what. You want a Brett Favre. You want somebody like that's going to be there game in, game out.
Yep.
But this whole, well, I'm not going to play because I may get hurt. My draft stock may drop.
My draft stock may drop.
That's the biggest crock of shit I've ever seen. And the thing that kills me is all over Facebook, people, well, I understand he has a family to look out for, this and that. I bet you, I guarantee money he'll be playing in the Senior Bowl, the senior game.
That's real.
I don't care if it's a national championship or not. You know, you knew when you signed up to play that it's a tough sport. Injuries happen, you know. And I understand people's went down. What's his face? That linebacker, Jalen Smith.
Yeah,
he was a first round, and he ended up getting hurt in a bowl game. But he still got drafted second round.
Yeah.
He still busted his ass, and he's starting now.
Yeah.
So if I'm a coach and I'm looking at this, if you're not playing in it because it's a minor bowl game, I don't want you on my team.
Yeah. Because, okay, are you going to show up on a Sunday when my team, you know, when you get drafted by the Cleveland Browns and our team is 0-8, are you going to show up on a Sunday?
Yeah.
Because you know we're not going to make the playoffs.
Well, it doesn't matter.
I'm just going to risk it. Yeah. So, you know, one of Brent's favorite movies, favorite sports movies, Draft Day.
Oh, yeah.
How do you think Costner would view
this? Costner's going, you know, I don't want that bum on my team. You know, it's just, if you haven't seen it, that is one of these movies that they look at the character of players and, you know, their drive for competition. And it's a spectacular movie to watch.
And the least little thing they pick up on could determine whether or not they draft a guy.
Yeah, you know? I mean, but, you know, I'm seeing all these people, you know, defend Grier and this and that. And I'm like, well, he has a family, you know, he could lose it all. Well, that's what you're playing a man's game. Injuries happen. Stuff's going to happen.
That's real.
But just because it's a minor bowl, if you would have busted your ass up and played a little better, you'd be playing in a major bowl.
Yeah.
So these people that are sticking up for him saying, I understand, I think it's just a crock of crap.
Yeah. If you wouldn't have fumbled a bunch of times throughout this year.
Yeah.
And fumbled in, you know, the Oklahoma game and cost your team the game, then you wouldn't have to be, you know, in a minor bowl game. But guess what? You played with your team. You lost. Now play in the damn bowl game.
I mean, you're supposed to have your teammates back no matter what.
Yeah.
To me, this is just the ultimate sign of disrespect. Well, I'm not going to play with y'all. You know, I got y'all to here, but I'm not going to play with you because my draft stock could get hurt.
Yeah, what about the other seniors on the team who aren't going to get to play in the NFL?
Yeah.
This is their last game ever of playing football. And where's their leader?
Yeah.
Gone. On the sidelines? Is he going to be there on the sidelines rooting them on? You know, which for fans, you know, you get to see the backup play, which is good for next year, but you know it's a bitch move. We'll call it what it is. It's a bitch move.
I did see something, and I know Marshall is nowhere to the talent that WVU has, but their senior, he's the only one in his family that got a degree, and when asked what he thought about playing because they're playing in a bowl game,
He's like,
I got my degree. He's like, I have all this. He's like, you know, I bust my ass for teammates. They bust their ass for me. So, you know, he's like, I owe it to them. And he basically just said this is a man's game. And he never thought about sitting out.
Yeah.
And that's from a small, that's from a Marshall team that, you know, they don't get the national spotlight like WVU does.
Yeah.
But
which I don't know if WVU gets a lot of national spotlight anyway.
Well, something like that, you know, it just stood out to me. I'm like, you know, he understands the game,
yeah,
and what it's supposed to be, how it's supposed to be played, and why. And but you're gonna set out because you're too worried about getting hurt.
Yeah. So let's talk about Will Grier a little bit, because he is going to be one of the top quarterbacks drafted this year, even with this little deal. But you got to call into question his character.
Yeah.
You know, with this, he gets suspended from Florida because he's using an over-the-counter supplement that he says he had no idea, that had a performance-enhancing illegal substance in it.
No.
He gets suspended for a year, has to sit out a year, comes to West Virginia, because he can't go anywhere else, kind of like Randy Moss and Marshall.
Yeah.
And, you know, sits out for a year and then comes in, and all of a sudden he's this big hero.
Yep.
You know, all of a sudden he's going to be the savior of West Virginia football. Then, you know, he goes out there, he plays pretty well, I'll give it to him. But I feel like once he knew he was out of the Heisman race, it kind of didn't matter to him anymore.
Yeah.
I talked about that on the podcast a couple times. Once he realized, oh, I'm not really in this Heisman race, which he finished fourth in the Heisman.
Yep.
I'm not really in this Heisman race. So, does it really matter anymore? Then, you know, you lose a few games and you go to a minor bowl game and you're not going to play just because you think your NFL draft stock will go down. If I'm an NFL team, I don't draft the guy.
No.
Pass. Mm-mm. And, you know, I mean, I'd draft Kyler Murray before I draft him, and I don't even think Kyler Murray's going to be an NFL quarterback.
No.
But, Kyler Murray did win the Heisman there. When was it? Sarah, was it yesterday?
Yeah, last night.
Last night.
Yep.
Which, you know, we were at the hockey game, so we missed it. But, Kyler Murray, there's a debate there on whether Kyler Murray deserved it over Tua from Alabama.
I don't feel like he deserved it just because Tua had a little bit of an off game against Georgia.
He had a little bit of an off game against Georgia, and he was hurt a couple times during the season.
Yeah, but I mean, the rest of the year he balled.
Yeah,
I mean, you can't take that from the guy.
Yeah,
and so, you know, next year he has to be number the guys at the beginning of the year that he. You know,
yeah, which gonna. You know, I've been playing college fantasy football. He's going to be the number one overall pick next year for anybody, playing college fantasy football. So,
yeah, but
so I think he'll come back and win it next year. You know, yeah. So that's my call is Tua is going to win the Heisman next year.
Yeah, I can see it.
So I can see that, but you know, so stay tuned. Over the little Christmas, the holidays, and New Year's. We got the bowl season coming up, so mm-hmm. we'll probably be talking a little bit more college football with the bowls going. But on from sports, let's see what do we want to talk about next here. Let's talk about Red Dead Online a little bit.
Okay.
I don't think we went too in depth in this last time.
A
couple of weeks ago, I don't even think it was out yet.
I don't think so.
So Red Dead Online. There's been some controversy around it about how the economy and it's way too hard to earn money.
Yep.
That's when Brent and I were mainly playing the game.
Yep.
Was when the economy was all screwed up.
Yeah.
But basically, you know, you go around, you roam the open world. There's a bunch of different like free roam events you can take place. There is an actual story, in the Red Dead Online, which is, it's pretty cool. In the beta, it is just in a beta version.
It's still just the beta.
So it's not the full release. But, you know, we played it for a while there, and, you create your own character. The character creation's a little kind of crappy. There's not really a lot of options there. But you create your own player and kind of have your own little Wild West adventure there. And, after a while playing, Brent and I, we just couldn't find much to do.
No, because, they got the typical shootout type thing, you know, where you basically just a death match.
Right.
They got the horse racing, which I didn't get involved in.
I didn't either.
The Stranger missions are a little, if you, certain ones won't work.
Certain ones are glitched out, but won't work at all.
So, and honestly, you know, the hunting, you know, it's fun. But right now, there's just not a whole lot to do, and there's not a whole lot to keep my attention. So, honestly, I'm playing the story again. I'm just playing around on it. But I'm sure, I do know that the Rockstar seems to be listening to the fans. They fixed the economy.
They did do that. There was a huge update to the online here within the last week.
And anybody that was playing, you got so much gold. Like, I got 18 gold bars now.
Yeah.
I had, like, two. And then I got, like, $600. So, it gave me $200 more dollars.
Yeah.
To have. And you actually, when you, if you run on, if you, like, there's those camps you take over.
Yeah.
And you actually get more money when you loot those guys now.
Okay. Like, because you were getting like 10 cents.
Right.
Like when you loot, when you killed a guy and looted him.
Right. Yeah. And now you're actually picking up gold watches, that type of thing.
Yeah.
I found, I got like 30 and 50 cents on each of the guys. You know, not all of them, but you know, they are listening to the fans.
Yeah.
And they are using this, this beta as, okay, this is what they're not happy about, so we're going to work on changing it. And, I mean, and I know there's going to be more online stuff to come.
Yeah.
I do like how, at first they wasn't sure if they were going to have to reset, when the actual online come out, if they would have to reset, like, all your progress from the beta didn't carry over.
Yeah, because that's happened before with games.
Yes.
You play the beta, you get to, like, level 20, and then you got to start over when the actual full game comes out.
But they did send a thing out that they don't have any plans on resetting it.
Yep.
So you'll keep the progress you've accomplished so far. Yeah. So that's cool. So, I mean, knowing Rockstar, I'm sure they'll listen to fans as they have been,
right?
And they're changing, you know, and they're fixing it. So.
Hopefully, you know, it's not EA we're dealing with here. You know, EA is famous for not listening to fans,
yes,
at all. You know, so at least it looks we're not out of the weeds yet. You know, because it's not all Rockstar's decision.
Yeah.
You know, they're kind of owned by Take-Two Interactive, I think. So you know, they kind of have to run it up through them. Yep. And Take-Two has said before that they want a more, you know, monetized version of games. You know, so not sure how I feel about that, really. But Rockstar, you know, at least it looks like they're listening. Hopefully by the time the actual version of the game comes out, hopefully it's, you know, a little more solid game. Hopefully there's more stuff to do. Right now they don't have the gambling in there. You can't play poker or blackjack.
Nope.
Which, you know, if you listen to the show, you know, that's the main thing I was excited for on the online was getting on there and playing poker against people online. So, but yeah, you know, it's fun, but right now there's just not a lot to do. That's kind of my review on Red Dead Online. But as a complete package, you know, because you get Red Dead Online included with Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yep.
That's what a lot of people are forgetting about here. You know, as a complete package, I mean, what more could you ask for, really? Yeah. You know, so that's just, you know, more to come on that. We'll see where that goes.
I'd like to give a shout out to God of War, one game of the year.
Yeah, so let's go ahead. We can talk about the video game awards now. Yeah, here we go. So I'm just going to kind of go through some awards here.
Okay.
Best multiplayer game. Well, first off, for those that didn't know, the Video Games Awards were this week.
Yep.
You know, a lot of nominations. We all thought Red Dead Redemption 2 was going to win Game of the Year.
Which, I was back and forth. I mean, God of War was a great game, and the visuals I thought were impressive. I thought Red Dead would win it just because of all the little stuff that they've put into it.
Yeah.
And I thought that would really put them over the edge. But I mean, I can't complain. God of War was a good game. It looked great. I mean, I think it's a little easier to put more detail and more time into more of a, would you call it a linear game? Would that be right?
Yeah, God of War is a little more linear.
It's kind of, you know, well, we gave you two paths. You can go this way or this way, but it still takes you to the same direction.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I'm not taking anything, I'm not trying to take anything away from it because it was an impressive game. The visuals looked awesome. It's just, I thought Red Dead had more thought into everything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just because, you know, even to the, I just figured this out playing online. I had this big pelt on the back of my horse. Well, you kill like a deer. Well, they thought that, you know, you just shove the pelt under the deer, under the bigger pelt.
Yeah.
And that just, it blew my mind, you know. It was like, wow, they thought of that, you know. And there's just a lot of stuff they thought about like that. But nothing to take away. God of War was a great game. The visuals were amazing. So, shout out to God of War.
But I'm just going to go through some categories here that I think are the major ones. Best multiplayer game, you've got Call of Duty Black Ops 4, Destiny 2, Monster Hunter World, Sea of Thieves, and the winner was Fortnite.
Oh.
So, you know, multiplayer games, this is my problem with gaming right now. Yeah. You look at Red Dead Redemption 2, and it's, for the most part, what was considered for these awards was the single player campaign. Mm-hmm. Multiplayer games, if you look at that list of games, Call of Duty, Destiny 2, which actually here's a decent game, Fortnite, Monster Hunter World, and Sea of Thieves. So Sea of Thieves was like, I heard it was boring. It was for Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
Only it's exclusive. Monster Hunter World, I actually thought it's a better game than Fortnite, but, you know, Fortnite's just really popular right now.
It is.
It is, you know, like free to play.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's something for it, but yeah, I don't know, man. I just, the multiplayer games right now, they're just, it's all about microtransactions and, you know, all that stuff. So I don't know. I can't deal with it, man. I don't like to play those games. I buy them and then a week later I'm done with them.
Yeah.
You know.
I can't remember the last time I bought like a multiplayer game to play.
Yeah.
I need a story, you know. I don't care if you put multiplayer on it, but I want a good story, you know. But there's a lot of people that they don't care. They just want the online.
Yep. So, then we got best sports or racing game, which I'm not sure why they really put sports and racing games in the same category.
Yeah, that's weird.
You got FIFA 19, Forza Horizon 4, Mario Tennis Aces, which you got and I don't have yet.
Yeah.
NBA 2K19 and Pro Evolution Soccer 2019. And the winner out of that was Forza Horizon 4, which, you know, I've played the Forza games before. They're pretty darn good.
They are. They put a lot into them year in and year out.
But one thing I think, man, there's a lack of racing games anymore.
There is.
They just announced that they are re-releasing Crash Team Racing.
Yeah,
I saw that. Which is pretty cool. That was a, you know, PlayStation 1 game to kind of rival Mario Kart, mm-hmm. but it was with, you know, the Crash and Crash Bandicoot and some other, like, PlayStation mascots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's pretty legit. But really, like, you think about racing games, there's Forza, there's Gran Turismo, there's, like, Need for Speed came out with that game that you have that your kids like.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just, there's not a lot of them. You know, Dirt is kind of a almost dead franchise now.
Yeah, they run it in the ground.
Yeah, so, you know, that kind of...
They hadn't been the same since Dirt 2, honestly.
They have not.
Well, Dirt 2, we played online a lot. It had a really good career mode type thing. And
we did.
The online was fun. Me, Rocky, and Steve, we played a whole lot.
We played that a lot. So let's see here. You got best action-adventure game. God of War wins that over Assassin's Creed, Spider-Man, Red Dead Redemption 2, and Shadow of the Tomb Raider. So that's kind of, that was a precursor to the game of the year. nomination, you know, or God of War beat out Red Dead Redemption 2. But yeah, just going through here, let's see what we got. Red Dead Redemption 2 did win quite a few awards. I will say they won Best Narrative, which I buy that. It's a really good story. Let's see here. They won Best Score in Music, which, you know, the music that play as you're going through the story was pretty darn good.
It was.
They won Best Audio Design. So there's a lot of stuff with, you know, the music and the sound.
Yeah.
So this one we can talk about a little bit. But we had Best Performance. So the nominees there were Brian Deckert as Connor in Detroit Become Human.
Oh.
Which was a great performance.
It was.
Christopher Judge as Kratos in God of War.
Mm-hmm.
Melisanthi Mahout as Cassandra in Assassin's Creed Origin. I don't know. Yuri Lowenthal as Peter Parker in Marvel Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
And the winner was Roger Clark as Arthur Morgan in Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah. Yeah, he did an amazing job.
He did an amazing... I'm going to tell you why he did an amazing job. And it's because we came into Red Dead Redemption 2 and we said, oh, there's no way we would like a character more than John Marston. There's no way in hell. They found the perfect guy to do John Marston's voice, which I still agree with.
Yes.
There's no way we're going to come out of Red Dead Redemption 2 liking a character more than we like John Marston from the first one.
Yeah.
Especially since you have to play as his son, you know, at the end of the game, and you really miss John Marston.
Yep.
Well, they proved us wrong in this game.
They really did. He did a magnificent job. I mean, it was the perfect guy for the perfect part. I mean,
You know, the emotion he put into it.
Yeah.
The story overall, amazing. You know, he really, like, the whole, you know, going into a little bit of spoiler territory now, because I think everybody who wanted to play Red Dead Redemption has kind of played it by now.
Yeah.
You know, he ends up having tuberculosis. He gets sick, and Arthur passes away at the end of the game. And, you know, you really just started feeling for... Once that hit,
yeah,
I really started believing the performance. I really started feeling for him.
Oh, yeah. So, and, you know, he kind of starts changing his way toward the end.
Yep.
And trying to make sure everyone's safe that he cared for in the group. And it... I don't know. It was just a great... the way they set it up, it was just magnificent. I mean, words can't explain it.
Yeah, so, you know, and where they really proved us wrong was they let you play as John Marston in the epilogue.
Yeah.
They let you play as John Marston, which is what we thought we would want the whole time.
Yeah.
But then it turns out we just wanted to go back and play as Arthur Morgan.
Yeah.
You know, because we really love the character you know, he's now my, you know, I like him more than John Marston. I really didn't think I was going to say that at the end. So, you know, we started the whole game over just for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so as we said, game of the year, we had the nominees. They had Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Celeste, which is, I think it's like an indie game.
Huh.
God of War, Marvel Spider-Man, Monster Hunter World, and Red Dead Redemption 2. And surprisingly, the winner was God of War, like we said. You know, and God of War was a great game. I think I'm surprised it won because Red Dead Redemption 2 is more in people's mind right now since it just came out. You know, God of War came out a while ago. It was this year, but it's been a little while now. In the world of video games, it's really quick. You know, new games come out every day. And I don't know, maybe we're looking at Red Dead Redemption 2 and saying, you know, that's the most recent thing in our memory, so we're thinking it's better than God of War.
But yeah.
I remember really, really liking God of War. You know, I didn't want to go back and play the story a second time in God of War, though.
No.
You know, like I did in Red Dead Redemption 2. So, overall, I think the story was better in Red Dead Redemption 2. So, I don't know. The God of War did do the snow physics first, the footprints in the snow.
Yeah.
They did do that first.
Yeah, it was really impressive. But
yeah, shout out God of War, like Brent said, winning Game of the Year. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So let's see here. Brent, what do you have on your list to go over here, man? Had a couple things here.
I wanted to talk about my thought on all these remakes or the reboots. Real touch base on it real quick.
Yeah, go for it, man.
I'm getting fed up with, as soon as they finish something, it's time for a reboot. Like, we're already talking about a Men in Black reboot.
Yep.
With, was it Chris Hemsworth?
Yeah, well, the Thor.
Yeah, Thor.
Yeah, Chris Hemsworth.
I'm just like, come on, man. You know, they just leave. I felt like that's one of those you need to leave alone. Because, you know, I don't think you can do better than what, you know, you had Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
So just let it be.
And even the last one with Josh Brolin.
Oh, it was great. I loved it. I loved it too. A lot of people kind of full circle, you know. It kind of showed why he picked Will Smith. That was...
A lot of people didn't like Men in Black 3, but...
No, I really liked it. Especially in the end when you see... You know, it was actually Will Smith's dad, and I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they're already talking about a Resident Evil reboot.
Which you just tortured us with those crappy movies.
Yeah.
And you just got done with it a few years ago. And now you're going to reboot it again just because, I don't know, are they looking at the Resident Evil 2 remake coming out and saying, we need to do that?
I guess. Now, if they do it like the video game, it may not be bad.
See, but I don't know how you do a movie like the video game. Maybe like Resident Evil 5, but like if you try to do something like the original Resident Evils, like it'd just be a bunch of shots of a guy walking down a hallway and opening doors.
Well, that's true.
So I don't know how you do it, but I guess you just got to put more story elements in it.
I guess. I don't know. It's one of those... But I just want them to take it easy with the reboots. I mean, just it's killing me. Especially as soon as something gets done, it's like, well, time for a reboot.
We've talked about that before. So, of all these remakes they're making of all these Total Recall and all that, you know, just leave it. Come up with an original idea. That's all I'm saying. You know,
and for some reason they can't do that anymore. They can't think outside the box. It's we'll just redo this because that'll make us some quick cash.
We'll just do what they used to do: read a book and then make a movie about the book. You know, so which they still do that a little bit, but when you have a something that's not an established property like a Star Wars or whatever. It just doesn't sell very well. So, you know, people say, oh, we should make new IPs. But they don't go out and support them once they come out.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a pretty big problem. So, a good example of that. The guy who made The Fifth Element.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember the director's name. I should know that, but, you know, off the top of my head, I just can't remember. He made a movie last year, I believe it was last year, called Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets. And I watched this movie. It got it got panned by critics. Critics hated it. Rotten Tomatoes, it's like 10% or some shit, you know?
Dang on.
I actually want to look up the Valerian Rotten Tomatoes. But it, it's a new IP. It was really inventive. It was actually based on a French comic, I believe. French comic book. Valerian and City of 1,000 Planets. Rotten Tomatoes. Critic score, 48%. Audience score, 53%. So it's just, you know, they say it's a crappy movie.
Yep.
I watched this movie. I loved it. I thought it was great. I went and saw it in the theaters. I thought it was awesome. You know, and I'm like, oh, this is the new Fifth Element. This is new, you know, this is the new, like, sci-fi, you know, genre movie. And nobody went out and saw it. So then now, are they going to make another one that's an original movie? No. They're just going to make something like, you know, they're going to make another Star Wars movie.
Yep.
And, you know, and they're really just going to end up running Star Wars into the ground. But,
yeah,
you know. But, yeah, man, new ideas just don't have a place in Hollywood right now. And, you know, something I don't, like, why does a movie have to be made in the Hollywood system, you know? You know, there's no independent investors making big movies.
No.
You know, which is kind of depressing. You know, any big movie, any blockbuster movie's got to go through this big process, and there's no original ideas. Even if there is original idea, it gets taken out of it, you know. So, what are you going to do, man? But yeah, so, you know, speaking of old franchises, you know, Creed 2 just came out. We did our review of Creed 2.
Yep.
Sylvester Stallone, once again, is saying that he's hanging up the hat and the bouncy ball on Rocky Balboa, and he will not play Rocky Balboa again.
He's been saying this since, what, 70? 70?
70, 79, 79 when the first movie came out, you know, or 77, whenever it was. The first movie came out, and he thought, oh, that'll be the last one. Then he makes Rocky 2. Oh, that'll be the last one because, it's, you know, it's done with the story of Apollo Creed. Then he makes Rocky 3. Oh, well, okay, well, that's done because, you know, he's like, oh, I'll never play Rocky again. And then, you know, he makes Rocky 4, Rocky 5, Rocky Balboa, Creed 1, Creed 2. And now he says he's going to hang it up again. Well, here's the thing, though. In Creed 2, we didn't get a conclusion to the story.
No.
He didn't, you know, he didn't die. Nothing really happened. You know,
so what?
Creed beat Drago. And that was the end of it. Happily ever after.
I mean, he goes and sees his son and his grandkid.
But he goes and sees his son, the guy from This Is Us.
Yeah.
Milo, what's his face?
It's just like, well, what now? I mean, what's he living with him? I mean, is that...
I don't know. Maybe he just went home to his kids and or went home to his son, and that's the end of the story. But there's going to be a Creed 3, you know, I would say. I don't see why there wouldn't be a Creed 3 at this point.
I don't know, man.
A lot of people think that they shouldn't make another one, but, you know. So, guys, what do you think out there? Is Sylvester Stallone going to actually retire? Or what's going on with that? But, you know. So, let's see here. The next thing I got on my list. You know, we talked about Iron Fist and Luke Cage getting canceled.
Yeah.
We kind of saw that coming with Iron Fist, the Netflix series.
Yeah.
But Luke Cage, I didn't really see it coming, even though the second season wasn't that great. But now, they've officially announced that Daredevil is canceled, which kind of shocked everybody.
Yeah, because what? They were in their fourth season?
They had three seasons.
Three. Okay.
But then, you know, they had the Defenders, which was basically another season of Daredevil.
Yeah.
And everything like that. So, you know, it's kind of surprising that they canceled it. I guess the views weren't there. But there is this whole thing right now of Disney is coming out with their own streaming service, like we've said before.
Yep.
And they own Marvel. They don't want their Marvel properties out with, you know, these other streaming services.
Yep.
And I think that's a whole thing. It's a whole behind the scenes of, you know, of what's going on there.
Disney has so much stuff going on in 2019.
Disney has a monopoly on shit, man.
I mean, you got Lion King. You're looking at Avengers
4.
4. Toy Story 4. Aladdin.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And there's
Star
a couple,
Wars. Another Star Wars. Episode 9.
Episode 9. I mean, the list is just... It just keeps growing, and it's insane that they own all of it.
Yeah,
and the I don't know if you saw the kind of the trailer for Lion King, but it looked amazing.
I did see that.
Aladdin, it looks really good. So
here's a debate. They're calling this Lion King movie the live action Lion King movie. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so the characters look real.
Yes, but they're going to talk.
They're going to talk, and they're computer graphics characters, right?
Yes.
So how is that not an animated movie?
I don't know.
They're calling it the live action, just like they called Jungle Book the live action version of Jungle Book, which was a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
The Jungle Book reboot, remake, whatever, which we were just talking bad about reboots.
Yeah.
But the Jungle Book one was really good. They had really good graphics with the, you know, panther and bear and stuff. But at least there was a kid in it who was live action.
Yeah.
You know, so that kind of counted as live action. But this, The Lion King, there's going to be no human characters in it. And some guy has drawn this stuff, or a team of people have drawn this stuff in their computer. So how is it a live action version?
Unless it just looks live.
That's what they're saying, you know, it just looks live action. But somebody animated those characters. It's an animated movie.
Yeah.
Even if there's performance capture and stuff like that, it's still an animated movie.
And then the actors they got in it, I mean, there's a lot of big names.
Yeah, James Earl Jones coming back, I believe.
Is he?
I believe he is. They got a lot of people. Let's look up what
kind of
Lion King cast. I think they have Donald Glover in there. Beyonce. Eric Andre is going to be one of the hyenas. Seth Rogen is going to be Pumbaa. You got James Earl Jones as Mufasa. You know, there's just a lot. Keegan-Michael Key is going to be in the movie, which is pretty legit. It's going to be...
Who's Kamari?
I don't know which one Kamari was.
Who's Kamari?
Cheadle Ojafor, I don't know if I'm saying that name right, but he's going to be Scar. Donald Glover is Simba. You know, so there is a lot of...
John Oliver's Zazu.
Yeah, John Oliver. Like I said, Beyonce, Eric Andre. So, you know, that is going to be... And the graphics look great. Yeah. I'm just saying it's still an animated movie. You know? Yeah. So I don't see how they say that it's a live action movie. It's blatantly animated. That's all I'm saying. But yeah, Disney, man.
Yeah, Dumbo.
Disney's got Dumbo coming out, which looks good as well. They're calling that a live action version.
Yeah.
They just had like The Incredibles 2 come out, which was, you know. Have you seen The Incredibles 2 yet?
I have not.
Well, there's a good version of it on a certain method we use to watch movies.
Oh, yes.
So you should go watch Incredibles 2 because it was actually really good. I really liked the movie. Incredibles 1 was great. I think that's Disney anyway. It's Pixar, so I'm pretty sure it's Disney.
Yeah, I think you're right.
They own Pixar too. Aladdin. I don't know how I'm gonna feel about Aladdin. Not really. I know it's everybody's like one of their favorite cartoons.
Yeah.
Not really one of my favorites growing up.
Well, I don't know how I feel about it, man. You know, releasing Robin Williams replacing. I mean, I know it's.
Well, it's Will Smith replacing Robin Williams.
I know, but Robin Williams had that commit. I don't know. I just don't.
Yeah, it is hard to replace Robin Williams, but you know.
Guess who the director for. Aladdin is.
Who?
It's Guy Ritchie.
Oh, Guy Ritchie's doing Aladdin? Yeah, which is pretty cool. you know. I love Guy Ritchie movies. A lot of people don't like a lot of his movies, but I love Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. Yeah. One of my favorite movies from him. There's Snatch, which is awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Brad Pitt in the movie Snatch is amazing. He's playing like a Scottish gypsy guy. Frozen 2 is coming out in 2019. So,
tell me, man, Disney.
But, yeah, you know, I mean, I guess they have Star Wars coming out in December, which, you know, Han Solo, or Solo, A Star Wars Story, was kind of a flop for them. So they're trying to rebound with Episode 9. They brought J.J. Abrams back to direct it, who, you know, directed The Force Awakens. Episode 8, Rian Johnson, it wasn't a commercial failure, but I think Episode 8 is the reason that Solo didn't do as well.
Yeah.
Because I actually kind of like Solo as a movie. I always said that Solo, it would be better if it wasn't a Star Wars movie. If it was just a, or if it wasn't a Han Solo movie. Like, if it was a Star Wars movie and just a regular, you know, movie out there. But they're trying to rebound with Episode 9. They got J.J. Abrams coming back. And he's got to wrap up this kind of a mess, really, that, say what you want about The Last Jedi. I actually kind of liked it, Episode 8.
I did too.
But did it really advance the story at all?
No.
No. Nothing really happened in it.
No.
Really? I mean, you know, Luke died. Spoilers for, you know, a 2-year-old movie now. But Luke died. Other than that, nothing really happened. And he kind of went out in kind of a bitch way.
Yeah.
You know, but... So, J.J.'s got to come back in and finish stories. And if there's one thing that J.J. Abrams is not good at, it's finishing stories.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a little worried about it.
Think about Lost, man. Like, he, you know, he came in, he was only on Lost for like the first season, right? And then he just left, and then the show finished like crap. You've got Star Trek now that's kind of a dying franchise, even though he rebooted it, and it's more like Star Wars instead of Star Trek now. But
yeah, it kind of run. Yeah, I thought those were going to be so good, and then they just...
So yeah, I don't know. I have my doubts about how J.J. Abrams can finish out the Star Wars saga. You know, and I've actually... I kind of look back on it, and I do like The Last Jedi, but I wish some things were different as far as the story goes. And that's why I'm actually going back now and reading all of what they call Legends books. So for those of you who don't know, the Star Wars Legends books were basically, they used to be called the Expanded Universe. So we had, you know, George Lucas had 3 movies. And then in the early 90s, they started making books. They started writing books. Timothy Zahn started with Heir to the Empire, which was a story of what happened after Return of the Jedi. Basically, right after Return of the Jedi, the Emperor is gone, but there is a there's a general or an admiral that he has. His name was Thrawn, which they've actually brought back now. But so there's this whole storyline of what happened after Return of the Jedi. Disney comes in, makes... you know, buys Lucasfilm, and then decides, okay, all of these books that everybody written that have written, you know, they used to be considered kind of canon. They weren't exactly canon because, you know, George Lucas movies were the only thing that was actually canon. But well, guess what, guys? All these books that you've been reading for the last 20 years, they don't count, and they don't matter. You know, read our new books that we're coming out with. So they started coming out with a bunch of new books and new comic books, and it's really getting overwhelming how much crap they're coming out with, you know, with Star Wars about the books and the comics and the just TV shows, everything. It's getting a little overwhelming. It's hard as a Star Wars fan to keep up with it. So I kind of said, you know, screw it, I'm not going to keep up with it anymore. I'm just going to go back and read the old Legends books. I'm going to read the EU just like I used to back in middle school. So, you know, kind of heck with it. But I'll watch Episode 9, see what they do with it.
I hope they don't screw it up.
JJ doesn't have a thing of finishing strong. It's supposed to be the last movie in the Skywalker saga, which is depressing to me.
Yeah.
You know, especially since was this really a Skywalker saga? Because Luke is barely in it for one movie. You know, is it really the Skywalker saga? Even though you know, Kylo Ren or Ben Solo has Skywalker blood, but it's, you know, Leia's side of Skywalker blood. Luke doesn't have any progeny, if you will. You know,
are they gonna explain Rey, who Rey's parents are,
or who Rey's parents are? Who was Snoke? You know,
there's a lot of stuff to wrap up.
Who were, okay, remember in The Force Awakens, they had the Knights of Ren?
Yeah.
Kylo Ren was the leader of the Knights of Ren?
Yeah.
Well, where were those Maws at in Episode 8?
I don't know.
Okay. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, Rian Johnson, I like the movie as itself, but he didn't advance the story. And the thing, and people say, oh, well, you can't, you know, speculate and then be mad when it doesn't go your way. Well, J.J. Abrams set up this stuff to, like, you're supposed to wonder, who is Snoke? Who are Rey's parents? Which he said in Episode 8, they're nobody. I don't believe, I think J.J. is going to come back and say, no, they're not really nobody. Kylo Ren lied.
He had to. Yeah. Because you can't tell me that just anybody is one of the most powerful Jedis around.
Yeah.
Like, that cannot be your explanation. Like,
which I think that's what they were trying to do with the kid with the broom at the end, you know, and the kid.
Yeah.
And he had the broom. I think they were trying to say, well, anybody can have the Force. Well, I don't know if I'm cool with that. I think you got to have, there's a big thing. People say, oh, well, anybody can have the Force now. Well, there's a big thing in Star Wars about lineage and how, you know, Luke was Darth Vader's son, and you know it's passed down from generation to generation.
Yeah, because he was one of the most powerful Jedi's like ever.
And right, then, that's one of the central themes of Star Wars.
And then you go from that to, oh well, anybody can do it.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see how JJ wraps it up, man. But like I said, I don't have a lot of faith in it. I'll go see the movies. I'll go see anything Star Wars that's put out just because I'm that big of a Star Wars fan.
And I don't know if you watched Solo, but one of the guys I work with, he watched it. He said he thought it was really good.
Yeah, I watched Solo. It.
I haven't got around to watching it yet.
I think I saw Solo twice in the theaters.
I do want to see it.
It's also, there's also should be a good version of it on a certain method we use for watching movies.
Yeah, I've been busy. I just haven't been able to, but I do want to get to watch it.
Yeah, I thought it was a fun movie. Just if you take it as a Star Wars movie, and maybe if you pretend Han Solo isn't Han Solo.
Yeah.
Because I just, you know, Harrison Ford, you just can't. That's like, you know, that's like recasting Indiana Jones or recasting it's Han Solo.
Funny you bring up Indiana Jones, because when we're talking about Disney movies, they're going to do another Disney. Disney's going to do another Indiana Jones.
Yeah, which I don't know if they've officially announced that.
Well, it's on their Disney thing right here. It don't have a title yet.
Oh boy.
But it says Spielberg is directing, Harrison Ford is returning.
Harrison Ford's like 98, and The Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I think I heard this. I think I heard about this because they're basically trying to make up for what they screwed up in Indiana Jones 4.
Yeah, because it says, but after that, your guess is as good as ours, and it's been pushed back to July 9th of 21.
Oh, boy. So, well, I don't even want that to happen. Let it die, man. Let it die. That's another one of those reboot, remake,
yeah,
sequel situations. Just let it die.
And then there's several other untitled ones we haven't heard anything about yet.
Yeah.
They're 2020, 21, 21. So, yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. Of course, you know how I feel about Shia LaBeouf, and like I didn't really care for the Kingdom Crystal or whatever.
Yeah, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Sucked.
I wasn't a fan of it, but yeah, I mean, I feel like he's past his age, you know, past the age where
Harrison Ford
he can do it. Yeah, I mean,
So, yeah, who knows? You know.
They'll probably be rebooting those before long.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, Disney taking over the world. You know, so it's Disney's world, and we all just live in it.
That's it.
That's kind of it. But, guys, that's it for us. We made it through another hour of the Couch Thoughts podcast. We'll be back with you next week, hopefully. And I forget which episode this is, even.
I don't even know.
26, 25.
24.
I don't know, but episode blank. Thanks for listening. You can find us on Facebook at the Couch Thoughts Podcast. This episode is available on Apple Podcasts, Podomatic, Stitcher, Google Play. You can also reach out to us on Twitter at Couch Thought Pod. No S in there. And then, you know, the last thing, our YouTube channel has some of our old podcasts on there that we just don't have the storage space to put up on our Podomatic feed. So go check that out. It's just the Couch Thoughts Podcast. Make sure you type that in, because apparently Jenna Marbles has some Couch Thoughts videos that I didn't know about when I was branding this podcast. So, guys, check us out. Thanks for listening. And until the next podcast, later.